Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick here with you at the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. At least I am. Usually at noon on Mondays, we talk to Vince Ferrara from the Sports Animal WNML in Knoxville, but he's got some hosting duties, so we say hello to him right now. Vinny, what's going on, my friend?
Guys, how we doing?
We're hanging in. We're doing good. We're doing well today. As we talk some Vols with you, I want to get your opinions because I know that Phil Fulmer has done some various interviews and he's given his thoughts on this, but basically saying that they are preparing at least like they're going to have all of their fans. They're going to be at full capacity at Neyland Stadium because they can then scale back if they need to. It's easier to plan like you're going to have everybody there and then dial it back. So what are your thoughts on that? Do you think that there is a chance that they have a full Neyland Stadium at some point this fall, or do you feel like the rest of us in that it's probably going to be not full capacity?
Well, the way you phrased it there, Chase, probably not is the camp I would be in right now. It's hard to speak in definites or exclusives right now because this is changing. Unfortunately, in a lot of places, it's going the wrong direction. And maybe that can turn back at some point, hopefully so. But it is a little bit more concerning now than it was. Phil Fulmer, one of the times he said that was on our afternoon show, I guess it was about a week and a half ago. Every day passes, and there's more and more reports of positive tests around the country. Football, really haven't heard much since those guys first got on campus. I think the numbers haven't been, in terms of colleges and especially at Tennessee, have slowed since the players have been on campus. And I think they are doing follow-up testing on campus. So that is a positive that we're not hearing about more positive tests when you're doing the follow-ups once they initially came in on campus for workouts. So that means that for the most part, you know, kids on campus are doing the right thing. I think that's going to be a big part of it is what does each school do with its players being responsible, and then what's the local area looking like? And look, there's worse areas than Knoxville for sure. I'm still skeptical that they're going to be able to have a full stadium, but I also don't blame them for having that as a plan. Not one that's concrete, but one that they are riding with until they are forced to alter it, because they are preparing for with other plans for lesser percentages of the fans in the stadium. I think it just depends on how the student athletes handle it and how the fans and the students on campus handle things leading up to it. And then obviously what the local administrators say in terms of reopening in Knoxville, Knox County, and in the state as well. So I think they have all those scenarios. I think Phil Fulmer is just trying to be positive and then also, hey, feel free to get some season tickets. And if you don't, then we can put it towards next year or get your money back at some point. I still think that's, for them, the better business play and the more hopeful positive business play, as opposed to overreacting and then trying to pull it back if and when things do improve.
Okay, that's my only COVID related question for you today, because I actually want to talk some football about the Vols. So you and I do a lot of the same things in that we read and we hear everything and as it's related to this football team. And one thing that I thought was interesting is I've seen a few people say that this is the last year, or should be the last year, that the Vols aren't considered to be one of the contenders in the SEC. Now, we've also had the conversation, Vince, about, well, last year, they overachieved, especially how they started the year. Everybody was ready to fire Jeremy Pruitt after the first few weeks of the season. I know we had that discussion. But then it became, okay, now they look good. They've had a good recruiting class, even though a lot of that's not going to help them until next season. So what are the realistic expectations when you read the polls that have the Vols in different spots and have them maybe achieving different things this season, as opposed to, okay, next year and beyond, they're going to be contenders in the SEC.
I do think, Chase, that if this season goes well with a positive direction for Jeremy Pruitt and the program, say they get to 8 regular season wins, which is where I would have them right now at 8-4, and then, you know, if you win a 9th game in a bowl game, Tennessee's been good in recent bowl appearances, that you go from 8 wins to 9 wins, and maybe Harrison Bailey is ready to take over a quarterback. Maybe you've been 8 fans or reporters around the country. Maybe they got a little bit of a sampling of Harrison Bailey this year and saw some promise in him, and then you think, all right, this team can take that next step next year. They may have that special quarterback that Tennessee has been looking for a long time to go with a competent defense. The last time they had a prolific quarterback, the last two times they've had a prolific quarterback, Joshua Dobbs and Tyler Bray, two very different guys, but they also had awful defenses for some of those years that those guys played. That probably won't be the case if Harrison Bailey is that special quarterback next year. They'll have a good defense to accompany with. So I do think the expectations are going to be greater next year. Will some people say this is the year where they contend? I think that's going to be maybe more so the fans that are really optimistic and ready to buy in and have higher expectations than maybe, you know, some of us in the media. But then I also think there'll be some that say, hey, this is the team to watch for. You'll see more of the, as we get closer to season, Tennessee is going to be one of those air quote sleeper teams to look for if you're trying to pick somebody different other than Florida and Georgia. But I still think most people are going to go Florida, Georgia. Most people have in those preseason publications I've seen. But there is variance, Chase. It's in those polls that you mentioned. I've seen Tennessee in the lower end of the teens, and I've seen Tennessee not even in the top 25. I think one of them, it might have been Lindy's, one of the publications had them, if you counted the receiving votes, it'd be 31. So that's a pretty big range from, you know, 18, 19 to 31. I would, to me, I think Tennessee is in that early 20s-ish, maybe late teens, somewhere in there. I think that's the 8-4 range for Tennessee, and that's where I would have them. But there is one win plus, one win minus. I think there is a little bit of a variance, and it's probably because of the unknown of the quarterback.
Yeah, and that's the question that once that's answered, you might give people a clearer picture. I mean, you're still going to have those fans that go, oh, no, you know, after last year, it's just, you know, in my mind, it's going to get better. So they're going to go from 9 to 10, and, you know, hey, they could be in the SEC championship game. You're going to have those people. Mm-hmm. I just think you have to be realistic. And I lied. I said I wasn't going to bring COVID up again. You do have to factor it in because the schedule could change. You could lose some players because they test positive. There are a lot of outside factors that, you know, 6 months ago we didn't think we were going to have to talk about, and now we are. So you have to take that into consideration. But if you look at their schedule, to me, Vince, and I believe we've had this discussion before, at Oklahoma in week 2 and then the game in Knoxville against Florida, those could potentially be season defining games for this team. However those games shake out could really determine how they're going to go and what they're going to do moving forward this season.
And if you have hopes to spoil the party, the Florida-Georgia party in the East, getting one of those two games at least, maybe even a second one, which would be if they beat Florida and Georgia, they're absolutely in it. Because then you're talking tiebreakers as well. But that's the one that carries even more weight within not only the conference but within the division. Plus you get Florida at home. It's a week after you play Furman, so there aren't going to be excuses in terms of who you played the week before being difficult. That's one of the pluses of Tennessee's schedule, is their tough games are all spaced out. You got Charlotte before Oklahoma. You have Furman before Florida. You have an open week before Alabama, and you have Kentucky before Georgia. So things are spread out. There's not that middle gauntlet. When you play Oklahoma, what's Spencer Rattler, if he's the one that in fact wins that job? He's a former five-star. Good chance he's going to be special. But is he special out of the gate, or is he going to need a few weeks into the season for him to be special? Well, you play Oklahoma in week two. They still have a ton of talent, though. So there's obviously that unknown there. So I think there's some opportunities there that if there's fans that want to talk themselves into best case scenario, you can make those cases for sure. Even when you play Alabama, you can talk yourself into, hey, that's Alabama's eighth consecutive game out of the gate if the schedule stays the same. Tennessee has an open week before Alabama, played them tough last year. So there's things you can talk yourself into without a doubt. If they don't get much improved quarterback play, if it's like last year, those things aren't going to happen. If you get special quarterback play, or if you get improved, more consistent quarterback play, Garantano or Harrison Bailey, then some of those other things can happen. But those are guesses right now. But Garantano is going to get the first shot, though, with the second year under Jim Chang.
The word potential gets a lot of coaches fired. And you look at the freshmen, the young players coming into this team, and you see a lot of potential. You mentioned Harrison Bailey quite a bit, and he falls into that category. But the young players, the freshmen, and other young players that could have an impact and should have an impact on this team, who would you say?
Well, we did a poll on our website. We put all of the 23 incoming freshmen on our website and let people vote. No one was left out. And it wasn't even close. It was the fans are all not all voting for, but the runaway leader was Harrison Bailey, because a lot of fans want him to play, five-star quarterback, and there's the hopes that he's going to play and be special out of the gate. And look, it's happened. Jake Fromm got to the national championship game as a freshman quarterback. So I'm not saying he's Jake Fromm, but he's highly rated as well. It can happen. The odds aren't in your favor that it will. So that's the guy that will be the first one that fans will talk about. I think the more realistic ones are a couple on defense and then at wide receiver. On defense, to me, my favorite player in this class, my favorite player in last year's class was Henry Toto, who was a freshman All-American and will likely be at least All-SEC this year. He is that special. But to me, the special guy of this class is freshman Keyshawn Lawrence. His long-term position is probably cornerback, but he can play anywhere in the secondary. Great size, Pruitt type of size, guys that are big, can run, and have ball skills. 6'2", 202. Love that if you're a corner. He could play nickel. He could play safety. There's opportunity. Second corner opposite Bryce Thompson is not a lockdown by any means. Nickel is a position you can move some guys around and open that up. Second, the other safety spot opposite Jalen McCullough, who had a terrific freshman year and became a starter in the second half of the year, those positions are there. He's a guy that said, they can play me anywhere. I want to play. I think Pruitt will find a role for him, and I think he is going to be, to me, the biggest impact freshman when you look back on the 2020 season. There's other guys from opportunity. Mentioned others on defense and outside linebacker / defensive end, those rush positions. There's replacing Darrell Taylor. You need to get after the quarterback. And a couple of the guys, Morvin Joseph, Tyler Barron, are two that come to mind that are big and physical enough to be able to jump right into the SEC. And then there's a need position there where I think they can upgrade, maybe not starting out of the gate, but have a role and have that expand as the year goes on. And then the other an opportunity is that wide receiver. And there's a bunch of them. They have four-star freshman wide receivers. To me, the guy that I think will have the best chance to make an impact early is Jalen Hyatt. He's from South Carolina. He's the thinnest, the slenderest of all those receivers. But, man, he can run after the catch. Has great jumping ability as well, and Tennessee needs that speed and explosiveness that continued to add on in recruiting after that. But this class really brings that at the wide receiver position. They have, like I said, any of those four could probably do it, but there's a need at wide receiver, and I would expect one or two at least to be really key contributors as freshmen. There's others, but those are the ones that I think would be at the top of the list for impact freshmen in 2020 for Tennessee.
We're talking to Vince Ferrara. Vince, one thing that comes to mind as you guys have the discussion about the schedule, if there are no fans or limited fans in the stands, presuming you can play the games, what factor do you think it is about playing on the road in these circumstances? How much of a home field advantage does a team lose in this case? So I just wonder, you know, a lot of times this in our minds, you're saying, well, it's going to be tough to win at Alabama or at Georgia, wherever the game might be, hostile atmosphere. I just wonder, will there be more road upsets this year if they can play these games under these circumstances? Because it's just a little bit more of a, I mean, it's just going to be a different environment.
I think that's an excellent point, and it's one that I could see happening to some degree. I still tend to just favor the better team more often than not when you're just picking them. And I take that approach, home or road, better team. Now, when it's close, then typically you would go with the team that has that home field advantage, and fans play a big part in that. So maybe in some of those closer to 50-50 type of games, it would nullify them from that home team having that typical advantage. So yeah, I could see there being more road upsets. Just depends on how evenly matched those are. I don't know that it's going to be a drastic thing, but you didn't mean that anyway. I could see an uptick in those road wins. And you know, what's that road team like? Are they a team like Tennessee that's experienced, that has 25 seniors, and I think it's 14 more juniors, a lot of upperclassmen? Is that it? That's the kind of team that could probably get some things done on the road, because they have players that have already dealt with those loud environments. Now they don't have to do as many silent counts at the line of scrimmage. The quarterback,
right,
the offense can communicate more, those kind of things. So yeah, and more experience, besides just the experience, but the experienced quarterbacks, that should be an advantage. With Garantano, he would fall in that category. Problem is that at times early last year when he was getting benched, he would change plays into the wrong plays. Has he flushed that out? Is that something that he can still deal with the fan noise, to where if he's got to make an adjustment with a silent type account and just communication, can he get them into the right plays under those circumstances, or them not being as bad this time around? I don't know, but I think there are those type of teams that with experience could pull off even more of those upsets.
We know the landscape, as we've discussed from week to week, Vince, is going to change in college baseball with the changing landscape of minor league baseball in general. Tennessee got some significant players drafted a couple of weeks ago. Pretty exciting stuff for them. So where does that leave them for next year?
Well, all three of their draft picks are officially signed now. Crochet is a millionaire with the White Sox, Alex Solari, the second-round pick of the Twins, and then Zach Daniels, fourth-round pick with the Astros. So those guys are all officially gone. They had two free agent signees and two right-hand pitchers, Chase Wallace and Cody Davidson. They have a couple of guys in the transfer portal, not any more than anybody else, but none of them, all of them were role players or guys that didn't even play this past year. And then they had one of their senior catchers that had the ability to come back, Landon Gray, that's moved on from baseball. He had a number of athletes, I'm sure, had his next career job lined up, so he's not returning. And then he didn't have one transfer in from ETSU, and catcher Jackson Greer. So you lose those guys, you add one transfer in, and you have a really, really good group of freshmen coming in, including a couple of elite arms, Blake Tidwell, who is from Loretto, Tennessee, and Charis Butcher, another strong arm kid from IMG Academy, originally from Indiana. So, and they have other really good players they're adding to the mix, but you're adding a pretty good recruiting class to bringing back most of your team. 8 of your top 9 hitters are back. You lose your top average guy in Zach Daniels, and the other 8 are back. So you have a majority of your position players back with now some competition with freshmen and a few JUCOs. Your next guy, your 10th guy in average, is Alex Solari, who's a second-round pick. So you have a lot coming back, plenty of really quality arms, and Jackson Leith and Chad Davis, Sean Hunley, a number of other freshmen that didn't get a ton of innings this year, but are talented arms that they think have bright futures, plus some of those special arms that as freshmen you can make immediate impact. So I think Tennessee is still in very good shape, going to have a very good year. And, right now you're seeing player development, Willie, with this team and this coaching staff. And I've compared Tony Vitello to Rick Barnes before, because you go through Rick Barnes's roster and you see improvement, 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 about the same improvement, 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 maybe a step back, improvement, improvement. So in large part, most of the players get better under Rick Barnes. That's the case. Arm after arm after arm, position player after position player after position player. Guys get better under this coaching staff. And so you have all that coming back, talent coming in, plus just the trust factor of player development that's happening at Tennessee. I would expect them to be what they would have been this year, in my opinion, and that's an NCAA tournament team, and maybe, even on the cusp of competing to host a regional. We'll never know what step they would have taken this year, but college baseball is going to be so loaded. You know that, Willie, next year with talent coming in and talent being pushed back, it's going to be a fascinating year. So the competition is going to be fierce, like none we've ever seen. But I think Tennessee will be right in the mix of that.
That will be something to watch the next few years, is how much deeper all college rosters are and how that affects where high school kids want to go. Does that spread them out to more teams around the country? I'm also curious, in the short term, how many seniors in all of the spring sports have decided to take up the NCAA on coming back for their senior year, as opposed to what you said, some people saying, yeah, I could come back, but I'm ready to go.
Uh-oh.
Willie, I'm just wondering what the numbers look like now that it's been a couple of months.
Yeah, Landon Gray is the only one that I've heard of. There may be others in some of the spring sports, the spring Olympic sports that I hadn't heard of, or maybe weren't as publicized. But Landon Gray was the one that made that decision not to return. Look, Tennessee has some, other really good seniors, like Redmond Walsh, who was a stopper of the year candidate, who was, a big-time arm. He could have moved on, and there's others. So, Landon Gray is the only one, and at least the NCAA is giving them the opportunity to be able to spread those scholarships out more and not have the 25% scholarship minimum. And they can spread it out and kind of rework those numbers. But by the way, Redmond Walsh was a redshirt junior, but he could have moved on to pro baseball if he wanted to. Pete Durkay is another one that was a senior that I believe is coming back. So, it's the tougher decisions, but at least they gave him a little bit of wiggle room to work around. And you mentioned maybe spreading out the talent in other areas, the transfer portal. I don't know if you've seen it on D1 baseball. They have a great transfer portal tracker on their website, and that thing seems to grow daily, and there's so many of them there. Obviously, it's probably never been that busy, but some of the other smaller programs are closing their baseball programs, and maybe there isn't the money in some of the smaller conferences, some of those schools, to take somebody in. They may want to or normally have an opportunity, but with the financial strain on a lot of these schools, they just may not have the money to add to it and just have to you know, keep stay below the minimum, the maximum in their scholarship, and not even be at the 11.7 because of how tough the finances are. So there may not be those opportunities out there at the smaller level to get that playing time.
Vince, great stuff as always. Enjoy hosting this week, and we'll talk to you next Monday.
Yep, and if McFarland doesn't come back with a big time serious savage tan, we have issues. So hopefully you guys will see that.
I saw a picture of him last night, and as pasty as he is, I think it's going to be more than a tan.
Burnt and fried. Yes. For sure. It's hot down here in the South. For sure.
Extra crispy, that's for sure. Vince, thanks as always.
All right, guys. Have a great week. Appreciate you.
Vince Ferrara, the Sports Animal, WNML in Knoxville. Willie, when we come back, somebody we both know very well was on Golic and Wingo this morning and has had a lot of thoughts on what's going on in his state. We'll tell you who we're talking about when we return. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.